I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubblegum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello and welcome back to All Out of Bubblegum, the podcast. And today we're going to be talking about a movie from the director of Sniper and Anaconda, The Specialist, starring Sylvester Stallone, Sharon Stone, James Woods, Rod Steiger, and the guy who's in everything, Eric Roberts. Today we got Marty and Brandon.
Hello.
And I am your host, Brenton.
Hi.
How we doing, guys?
I'm ready to go. I thought this movie was pretty good.
You like this one?
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting mess. Because it's like three different kinds of movies just sort of jammed together. One of them is sort of a kind of loose Les Samurai, The Mechanic, Hitman movie about weirdos who fall in love. And then the other, there's like a erotic sex thriller in there somewhere. And then whatever movie James Woods thinks he's making.
And that's the best one of the three.
It really is.
Yeah.
This is a movie that kind of lives and dies on James Woods being in it. Because holy shit, does he bring this movie any kind of life. Also, I think the movie is trying to be a kind of like this moody, erotic thriller. I think Stallone just does not work for that.
No, not at all.
Sharon Stone is doing impeccable work and being the hottest woman alive. And then Stallone is just like clenching his eyes shut. Like, kid, don't look at the sexy girl. Don't look at the sexy girl. It's fucking weird.
Well, the way I interpreted it was the entire movie is a metaphor for Stallone's virility in the shower. I mean, like, Sharon Stone's like, I heard you can control your explosions. And Stallone's like, I can control my explosions. And like the cat is just following Stallone around everywhere. The cat is a metaphor. It can't resist Stallone.
It's his cologne.
And eventually get it
follows
the
him
shower.
Everywhere.
Yeah. It's a metaphor for Stallone's just his extreme sexual nature, and that's what the movie's about. But no.
It's weird that he's called Ray Quick then.
Yes. I feel like this could have been called Quick Time or something. I don't know.
Ooh, that would have been good.
Quickie.
Controlled Explosions is another one I would have gone with.
Oh my goodness. I just love how Stallone is a cat. What was that?
Oh yeah. Front Towards Enemy. I don't know. Some kind of Claymore.
Yeah.
The Rigger and the Trigger.
Yeah, I like that too. I would have watched the whole movie just about him and, or I guess, James Woods and Sylvester Stallone just being off in South America planting bombs.
Mm-hmm.
It'd have been like Munich, but way more fun.
The fun version of Munich.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, yeah, I like that opening scene.
Everything. Well, you know, it's a weird thing about this movie is I think that this movie has been scrambled and sort of pieced back together in editing from something very different. And I get evidence of that kind of all over the movie. There's different scenes that just, their vibe is so fucking weird. But that opening scene in particular, I'm thinking was not meant to be a scene. It just, I think that stuff was shot for flashbacks.
Hey.
It is severely undercooked, so that would make sense.
Yeah.
Because you get no sense of, like, camaraderie or partnership between Woods and Stallone. They're just there together.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about, no, you betrayed what we stand for. And, like, do you guys even know each other? Do we? have you worked together before? We get no sense of any of that.
He's like, I taught you everything you knew. I'm like, oh, we're just like speaking in exposition the entire time. And it's very weird. And then also, there's a... Oh, yeah?
Sly's like, no, we don't do this. You're finished at the agency because there's a kid in the car with the drug lord. But then you're also like, but why is the CIA in Colombia blowing up bridges with drug lords driving over them? Why do they draw the line just there? Like, isn't them being outside of their jurisdiction killing people, isn't that where they should have drawn the line?
No, but he that's thought this, they were making Sly Stallone ideology. Yes.
Yeah. Killing drug people good, killing kids bad, and it's very black and white. And Sly just knows what's good and what's bad, and James Woods doesn't.
Well, it kind of reminded me of
even though he was doing his job, James Woods was just doing his job, honestly.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense if you think about, like, what would that have looked like going back to the agency? Like, that conversation.
Yeah.
Did you blow up the target? Yeah, but he also blew up this kid, this human shield that he had with him, I guess. I don't know what he was doing with the little girl in the car. Maybe, well, that was his daughter. When you signed up for this mission, you understood there might be collateral damage, right?
Yeah. You'd think so, but no, Stallone is right.
He's like, my bombs always only hit their targets.
Yeah.
Which is true in the movie.
Yeah.
He's like, in a crowded building, he's able to control the explosions. And, it only kills, like, the guy, the big pimp-looking dude. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll say the movie is about a guy that's what he did. He worked for the CIA or something, and with James Woods, and after a mission goes wrong and a child is killed, they kind of go their separate ways, and Stallone gets lured out by James Woods. I guess this whole thing technically was a big giant revenge plot.
Yes.
But, it's not entirely clear. That seems to be what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To lure him out just so he can kill him, but he's like fucking lazy about it. I don't know. In the meantime, the movie is like this kind of low rent canon film, like a Death Wish 5, where Stallone's just going around beating up punks on buses and blowing dummies up. Like very obvious dummies. Thank you, Blu-ray. Oh yeah, in the beginning when Stallone jumps from the bridge, also not Stallone. Very clearly not Stallone.
Yeah. For the record, if you watch this on DVD, you can also tell. That's not an HD thing.
I did notice Sharon Stone's nipples in one scene. So
one scene?
Also like, thank you again, Blu-ray.
Yeah.
just through her shirt, you know. Okay. It turns out I didn't have to wait long because she just gets naked in like three more scenes, so whatever. But
yeah.
This is that post-Sliver, post-Basic Instinct era of her career.
Mm-hmm.
Where all the directors were just like, yeah, be in our movie, just get naked.
Yeah. It almost feels like they decided to add the erotic thriller element to this film just because they had Sharon Stone.
Oh, definitely. Which, it's very weird. Like, go watch The Mechanic with Charles Bronson, and he's playing a weirdo who can't really socialize, you know, kind of like Blast of Silence. It's like an old trope with Hitman.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, Le Samurai and all that stuff too. But it's just like, that's what he's supposed to be. But you never believe, because Stallone just won't do it anymore. Like, you never believe that this guy was a loser.
No.
So they intercut him doing like just absolutely shredded Tai Chi. And then her being hot, you know. Just doing, it's very weird. So you're like, how am I supposed to feel about this? Is this supposed to be sexy? Is this what he thinks is sexy? I don't know. It's very, very odd.
while at the same time, while he's doing his half-naked yoga, he's listening to recorded phone conversations he had with her.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I know, is so also sexy, Tai Chi, I guess.
is a metaphor.
Yeah. He's everything is a metaphor.
Dick around. Yeah. Well, they needed more stuff of them, you know, inserting the charger into the plastique. You know, to really, like, just bring that metaphor home.
Yeah.
But no, this movie, again, it feels very, like, oddly edited together. There are scenes that probably should be out. There are scenes, I think, that are missing. I think that the introduction to James Woods should not have been him just, like, in a nightclub somewhere. I think they should have gone with when he fake joins the FBI or whatever, or the bomb squad.
Oh. Mm. But then we would have had to wait longer for James Woods.
No. Maybe. But when he returns, you would have been like, oh, my God. Because yeah. That's a fantastic scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, supposedly, one of the people who was in the editing room was Sly himself. editing out James Woods because he was afraid he would steal the movie from him.
I don't know where you heard this, but this sounds correct.
And still, he failed. He didn't cut out enough Woods.
Because if I was an actor and I went back and I was watching the dailies and James Woods was doing what he's doing in this movie, I'd been like, fuck. Because he is killing it.
Yes.
Yeah. But then also, supposedly, somebody else cut out a lot of Eric Roberts' stuff, which made Sly feel bad for Roberts. And supposedly, if IMDb trivia is to be believed, was a big reason for him casting Roberts in The Expendables.
Oh.
I thought it was just happenstance because Eric Roberts is in everything.
Yeah. Could also be true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Roberts is awesome in this as well, actually. I love his... I'm trying to think of who he reminds me of. I think you know who he reminds me of is the guy from the villain in the movie The Mask.
Peter Green?
Yeah, I think that's right. The guy, yeah, the dude that ends up taking the mask himself.
Yeah, Peter Green.
But yeah, that's what he reminds me so much of. And this is, I think, within a year of each other.
Ooh.
But yeah, just that look. Where he's like pretty but evil. It's just like this, like, okay.
He is a really good scumbag in this.
Yep. I think few do it better than Eric.
Yeah, well, James Woods.
Unfortunately, but, yeah. he's in the same movie as James Woods, so you're going to completely forget about him by the end.
Yeah. And I'm dying to talk about Rod Steiger here. He's, or however you pronounce his name. He is ham acting to the best. He's doing his Cuban accent, which is the same as his Mexican accent from Duck, You Sucker. So it's like, hey, it's Juan Miranda. He's back. And he's the same character. And it's, oh, Rod Steiger, you're a treasure.
I had that same feeling with James Woods and Sharon Stone. I was like, oh, this is the real backstory to Sharon Stone in Casino.
Oh, hey, there you go.
James Woods not dead yet. Yeah, it's funny that the opening of Casino, it's like, you know, the bomb that doesn't kill De Niro, right? That's like,
oh, yeah,
this crazy opening to that movie. And then this movie's all about bombs. And there's that entire sequence where the mob dude, he's looking around, he looks under the car. And I realized the music was telling me that the scene is like serious and suspenseful. But I was just kind of like watching, and I was like, I think that this would have been funnier than scary. And they should have played that up because it is very funny. Like, he keeps looking around, he looks underneath, pulls the bomb out, has the kid pull the car out, and he's like hiding around the pillar.
Yeah.
It's a car. I mean, it's fantastic stuff. Yeah. It's really funny. But I'm like, why isn't this being played for laughs? It should be. And then he gives the kid the bomb at the end. I'm like, that's hilarious.
It kind of reminded me of Kiss Me Deadly. When there's two bombs in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, later he turns into a dummy and gets thrown into the air by a bye-bye bomb from the little parking meter thing.
Well, it's just like, why is he being funny. Like, it's weird, right?
Yeah.
Like, he puts, first off, there's a timer, and the guy has 9 seconds to get away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, there's no one behind him. There's no reason this guy can't get away. He just totally just stares at the countdown timer, mm-hmm. even though he's been aware of a bomb this entire time. And when it shows up, he like freezes. But yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That should have been played for as funny as it was. The music's just being very serious there, though.
But I did like the music by John Barry, because John Barry, he's one of the great film score composers. And he's almost like, you picked John Barry to do The Specialist? But I don't know. I thought he did a pretty good job as a composer here.
Well, this is a movie that's like, it's overcast. All of the crew are way better than the material.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I think if you say Stallone was in the editing room, I think it's probably his fault. It doesn't have that like snappy MTV editing that he used to do. So I don't know. It doesn't really feel like him for the most part. There's one scene that I thought was really funny, like later on when he kicks a food cart at a dude and the guy's like shooting and they do a slow-mo shot of the ice sculpture goose head blowing up. And I was like, that seems like Stallone. But that's about it. Also, that's a funny sequence because he's running down through the kitchen and you hear the chef yell, security! And then these guys come running in and he just fucking brutally murders them. And so I was like, did he just like randomly kill the hotel staff
security? Yeah, he like dumps one in like boiling hot water and scalds him to death. That's...
Yeah.
A comically oversized basin of boiling water.
Yeah.
You know, you say that, but I've seen those in Taco Bells. I don't know.
What the fuck? Do you put an entire pig in them?
Actually, all it is a thaw. It's just boiling water.
Mm.
Yeah, but what do you boil in it?
You're just thawing big old sacks of pretty much anything now. Like if you Taco Bell's like an American phenomenon, I assume. But
yeah.
they don't cook anything. Everything's thawed.
So, I still don't get it.
So buy Taco Bell. They're our new sponsor.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So all they have these big old vats and they just throw, they're like plastic sacks of meat and sacks of gravy or, cheese sauce, whatever. And they put it in there and it brings it alive. And then you take them out and you cut open the plastic and you pour that paste into your tacos.
So what you're saying is this is a classy hotel.
Yes. No. Okay. Honestly, I think that it is, as you say, I think it's just an oversized like tub and they were like, we could make a whole scene from this.
Yeah.
That water looked like it's boiling. Yeah, just throw a guy in there. Also, when Stallone, just that random scene where he just beats up 4 guys on the bus.
Yeah.
And
he
kicks a dude right through the window and then he's like, oh, there's a vacancy, you know. I'm like, oh, so now you're fun dude, you're not the window. Tai Chi jerking off to Sharon Stone's voice. But it's like there's that whole scene. I'm like, no, dude, the ride's over, the bus is stopped for the day because they're gonna fix your fucking window.
Yeah, if I was that lady, I'd be terrified of Stallone. I mean, you just beat the shit out of all these people.
Well, she got on the bus. I'm like, she's pouring sweat because it's a hot-ass Miami day, so it's not an air-conditioned bus. And then he kicked a giant hole through it. So, yeah, there goes the air conditioning. Everyone's day is ruined. Thank you, Ray. I hate knives. If you're going to include that, you should probably make that come back some way
in the script.
Well, he does throw away a knife at one point and uses it to kill somebody.
Yeah. Well, that's in the kitchen when he just murders the hotel security. So the worst day of their lives, these rent-a-cops are like, what the fuck's happening?
So do either of you guys have $1,000 lying around?
Unfortunately, I do not.
I do not.
Yeah. Because on eBay, you can get Rod Steiger's script for this movie.
I do have $1,000 lying around.
And he annotated his own dialogue to phonetically spell out his accent, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I love it.
I kill you. You bastardo. Screaming at God when he blows up at the end.
Yeah. Instead of throwing away the locket.
That stuff is like, I think there's a different movie in here somewhere. And that stuff's like, they just had to like throw that in at the end because they're like, well, fuck, we forgot about the plot. Yes. My guess is that James Woods originally kills that dude.
Oh,
kills
really?
Rod Steiger. That's my guess. Like, I think he was going to betray at the end because he also gets what I think is the best death in the movie. It's the only time I'm like, that makes sense because that was crazy. Where he's just bouncing around the mines. I was like, I fucking love that.
Yeah, but it almost felt edited in a way. Like, there's more to it.
The way everything in this movie did. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Cut stuff down. I think he probably had, like, you know, a Brian Thompson and Cobra-esque death. Where you're like, God damn, that just goes on forever.
He's bouncing around like a rag doll.
Yeah. And, you know, pieces of him probably flying around. I don't know. Because he lands, there's a part where he just lands on the stairs and there's like fire coming up underneath. And again, it's not him, it's a stunt man. But it's just like, what the hell?
Yeah, technically, we don't see him die.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just assume he gets burned alive. We don't know.
Yeah.
He becomes Hades, Lord of the Underworld.
Yeah. There you go. At least the cat makes it, so it makes it all worth it. Yep. They make a point of showing the cat, like,
yeah.
And then they're not weirdos anymore. So I think what he tried to do, he did a little bit better in Assassins with Julianne Moore, where it's like, okay, these two are strange, and they, you know, like he kind of makes the same movie again.
Yeah.
In that movie, and Antonio Banderas steals the show. Because honestly, Stallone straight manning it kind of sucks. Like he forgets completely how to act. He's like, oh, remember when you used to make characters? This guy is like the same character as he is in Assassins. He's the same kind of dude. And in fact, I know that it is because in Assassins, in the script, in the original script, he's doing nude Tai Chi. And he doesn't do it in that movie because he took it. And he put it in this movie.
Oh. But it's been a while since I've seen Assassins, but doesn't he also just talk to Julianne Moore on the phone for most of it? Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think she's a weirdo that has her apartment rigged up with security cameras, and she's spying on all her neighbors, watching them getting into, you know, marital spouts and all this stuff. Because she's a little creep, and
it's just Rear Window.
Yeah, and it's sort of what's going on in the movie Sliver with Sharon Stone. So there's like a lot of like intermixing of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really work in any of the movies.
Sharon Stone is kind of famously like a way better actress than Hollywood ever gave her roles for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I had something similar in my notes. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a shame. And this movie is an example of it where you're like, I have fun with this movie, okay? But I have to admit,
oh, me
it's
too.
Like really sad when I think about how many years of her life and her prime, when right after she took off, were kind of wasted on just like shit.
Yeah. But also, her prime was late by Hollywood standards.
I guess so.
Was she like 34 when she did Basic Instinct?
I think so. Something like that.
Yeah. Which by Hollywood standards is ancient. Even though she looked better than most people do when they're 18. But still.
Yeah. I think she's one of those women too that, as many are, who just, it's like, okay, yeah, she's like pretty in her 20s. And then when she hits her 30s, she just becomes like this whole other animal. And she's, you know, just fucking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like, and whoever, you know, the producers are, they realize that. They're just like, yeah, give her all these shots just have her looking sexy here. You're like, what's the scene? Doesn't matter. So she's like acting through the makeup, like she's doing stuff where she's just like down there shaking and trying not to like give away the game to Eric Roberts, all these things that she's doing. And you're like, oh, she's putting in way too much work for what this movie is. Yeah. Of course, so is Rod Steiger. So.
Yeah.
And James Woods.
I don't think James Woods has any other speed. This is like how he is.
True. True.
Just the cocaine. I don't know.
No, but Sharon Stone is supposed to be a lot younger than she actually was, I think, in this movie. Because there are flashbacks to her parents being murdered by Eric Roberts. And then we see her later in life, and Eric Roberts obviously still looks exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I don't have an answer for that. I think it's just bad filmmaking. I think they do put Eric Roberts' bangs in his face. You know, which is the Hollywood sign of, see, he's way younger now. That's my favorite part of Catch Me If You Can. And they're like, see, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's just a kid because he's got bangs, like kids.
There's a review on Letterboxd for a movie called Of Love and Shadows. And it's something like, Jennifer Connelly plays Southern American. She has curls. Yeah, it's great. Great casting. South American. Did I say Southern? I don't know.
Yeah. It's okay.
Yeah.
Of Love and Shadows should be watched for Jennifer Connelly dressing in military regalia alone. Ooh, or rather, taking it off.
No, it's the dressing after that kept me... A lot of people...
Go on.
A lot of people felt that Eric Roberts was miscast in this one, I think.
But he's the best cast.
He isn't miscast. It's Rod Steiger's accent that makes it weird. Because, like, they're both white, but why does Senior talk with his weird accent? Well, Junior is clearly just an American. I mean, it can happen, but...
Yeah,
I think that's the best explanation.
I just like Rod Steiger talking that way, so I'll defend it to the day I die.
I forget that he's like that, because, you know, the villain, the guy that Anthony Quinn plays in Last Action Hero, he's kind of doing the same sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it's being played for laughs in that movie, so it kind of works. Where this year, like, okay. You don't need to do that.
Oh, he does.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that's so funny in this movie. This is why Stallone being the straight man is just so lame. Just the ship. Because everyone is sort of giving 110%. And then Stallone comes in and he's like, yeah, I'm just be the hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a guy say that in an interview where he just said Stallone was sleepwalking through this. So I was like, hey, let's... He just does that sometimes, and I don't know why. There's the escape plan movies, the very first one, where like Schwarzenegger shows up and he's giving like probably one of his best performances ever, and then Stallone's just sandbagging him the whole time. Like, what are you guys doing? You finally get together, and this is what you do. Oh well,
I used to be stoic and cool.
Yeah,
and yet also cheeky and funny. Like, gotta do the bye-bye. Like, did we establish that he's a funny little man? Like, why is he like this?
I didn't understand that part, but it seemed out of character.
Well, I was trying to understand what his character was.
Fair enough.
Like, the whole time, I'm like, what are you? He's like, I don't do that anymore. I'm like, you answered this ad.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Why are you also not in the agency anymore?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, what is going on? There's like scenes missing here. Like, what is happening? Yeah, so right quick, I guess after leaving the agency or getting fired or who knows, nobody really knows. They don't really tell you.
Maybe the opening scene is also set 10 years before the rest of the movie.
Is that what it said?
Well, it says 1984, and then we jump to Miami, Florida, present day. So
yeah, that's right. Present day, certainly not 2024. So
no,
I don't know.
Looking at their high tech computer phones, whatever. No, this was definitely the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he, it's the movie just jumps right into it. He's like, they're like, oh yeah, and so now he's just a guy answering sexy phone ads from Sharon Stone. And at some point, this has already happened. She's revealed to him that she wants him to blow up the guys in this mob family who killed her father and mother when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And we don't know what their associations were, nothing. Again, it's just like there's no context. Stuff just kind of happens. And so in this movie, I'm constantly trying to keep up with, like, what the fuck, you know, the whole movie. I'm like, what is the plot here? And then James Wood shows up. And you're like, oh, I guess he works for that family. Like, what are the odds of this? And then you find out, oh, it was actually all ruse. You find it in one scene. Where they don't actually, the best part about that scene is that they don't literally tell you what's going on.
Yeah.
They just, you piece it together as they have this conversation. You're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's like the best scene in the movie, best written scene. And I'm like, this must be an accident.
Yeah. It made me feel smart that I could put it together kind of thing.
Yeah. But yeah, you find out James Woods, hired Sharon Stone, who has a real grievance, has a real problem in her backstory, and she does actually want him to kill these people, but she previously, I guess, teamed up with James Woods, who wormed his way into the family, but this whole thing is, it doesn't mean anything to him. What he really wants is to kill Sylvester Stallone.
And take over the family, right?
I don't know if that's part of it. I don't think he... He might have like ulterior motives like that, but we don't really learn it.
No. It's also really fucking weird that he's this obsessed with being kicked off the agency when he seems to be doing fine. I mean, he's clearly a psycho criminal, so, and he's now working for a big crime family. He wears expensive suits, so he probably has money. Why is he still so upset?
I don't know. Yeah, like he seems like he's having a much better time.
Yeah.
He's pissed. The entire movie is just pissed. But I'm like, you seem like you're having the time of your life, dude.
Yeah. This is what you were born to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, even if he ended up killing Ray, it's like, what does Ned do? Also, why is his name Ned? I don't
know this. Ned Trent and Ray Quick.
Yeah.
They're all stupid names. At least the cat gets a cool name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Timer. Which also, by the way, the same cat was also in Assassins.
Are you serious? That's the same one?
Yeah, Elvis the cat.
Oh.
It's wild. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why that like that shocks me, but it's... Yeah, Stallone just really liked that fucking cat. Well... I don't know. I actually like this movie, but it's entirely because of James Woods. Really, almost entirely, I guess. Because he's so fun in this. This is, you know, just like you go watch Assassins. It's the Antonio show the whole way. And, you know, Julianne Moore, another really good actress. She's also, you know, and I think her profile has only gotten bigger since Assassins. I'd say Sharon Stone's is sort of, I think somebody didn't like her, she kind of got semi blacklisted because I think they said she was difficult to work with. It's one of those things.
Apparently, also on the set of this one, but yeah.
Yeah, but that's what people would always say, and then I think that she just is a woman with a voice, and that pisses a lot of dudes off.
Yeah. What do you mean you don't want to go nude? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Going to build your career, babes.
Yeah. Well, I also think, like, Julianne Moore worked with Todd Haynes, a very good director, so she sort of, like, has a good movie every 2 years, whereas Sharon Stone didn't really have any, like, regular directors.
Yeah.
I mean, she got one proper movie with Scorsese, and she was great, but then that was the end of their collaboration.
I think that The Quick and the Dead is vastly underrated.
Oh yeah, me too.
That's a great Western.
Childhood classic for me.
Yeah. So she's in stuff, and then, you know, things just don't take off. I guess, I don't know. I guess, you know what's funny? She's in Ants, and Stallone's in Ants. So, yeah. Yeah, little reunion there.
Do they have a shower sex scene in Ants?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the ants get... No, I'm thinking of a Bug's Life. I was going to make a reference that's kind of a shower, but that was Bug's Life. But yeah, you're right. Just is pretty much it for her after Casino. And that's a shame because great actress. She's in good stuff. Alpha Dog is a really good movie, for instance.
Yeah.
And she's great in it. Her and Ben Foster have a great scene where she's just slapping the shit out of him. It's fantastic. Go watch the movie just to see that.
Have we brought up yet that Steven's... No. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just... it's just a bummer. You see Sharon Stone just kind of like drop off the world after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, I think we haven't brought up this yet, but Steven Seagal was going to be cast in this film, the Stallone role, but he didn't like the sex scenes and he wanted like $9 million, so it was not meant to be, which is unfortunate because I would have loved to see Steven Seagal doing a shower sex scene with Sharon Stone. That would have been like his big 500-ton body just like jiggling all over the shower and like, oh yeah.
He was still fairly fit in 94, I think.
Yeah, he was, but I like to think of him as being always fat. Just makes me happier.
Yeah.
That scene would have been, it's already like kind of gross.
Yeah.
he's so muscular and she's so just like hot. And then the way it's lit, like they look like a couple rocks just being mashed together. And then they're like, you're like, okay, what the fuck is this shower?
Yeah.
This hotel.
Yeah.
But it is the kind of hotel that has security in their kitchen. So.
It's also, I think, the most roided out I've seen Stallone. I don't know why people ever doubted that he took steroids, if you see him in this. Jesus Christ.
Well, it is definitely the most unnecessarily muscular he's been for a role. Like, that's not what this guy needs to be.
Just a bomb maker.
Yeah.
That's Tai Chi with a cat.
You know, he's so good at, like, when he wants to be an actor, like, he can be great.
Oh, yeah.
And he's really just, he is on such autopilot in this. So it's very weird that he's just like, yeah, I'll also be the most ripped bomb maker since Bronson. Fucking craziness.
Don't ever get Stallone to be a love interest. That's
just him and his guns. That's all you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Steven Seagal was one of the people they wanted for this. As well as Roger Moore.
Oh, probably for the dad, the Rod Steiger role.
Oh my God, with the accent, yes, please.
I would have just like a British mob boss. He's like very a suave British mob boss. I would like to see that.
Yeah, and then he has Eric Roberts as a son.
That'd been hilarious.
Yeah, even more hilarious than what we actually got.
More hilarious. Yes.
Yeah. And they also considered, no, they also considered Rennie Harlin and Mario Van Peebles to direct.
Okay. Can't really see that, but.
You know, that might have worked. This guy does love his, like, outdoor tracking shots, but Rennie probably would have been a good move, I think. Especially because, you know, he'd just done Cliffhanger.
Stallone.
Maybe that would have worked out.
Well, I do like Losa. I'm a big fan of Sniper. And I do think that...
How are you on Crime Hunter, then?
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Crime Zone, sorry.
Crime Zone, yeah. No, I haven't seen it. Okay. I'd like to, but no.
Anaconda. I'm a big Anaconda lover.
Great movie, yeah.
I actually have not seen it since I saw it in theaters. So.
Oh. I think I rewatched it last year. Great movie. Yeah. I mean, great. Great. What's great? But, you know... John Voight doing a silly accent. I think Louis Loza has something that he wants in his movies. It's just an old dude doing a stupid accent.
if that's not in my movie, not even hire, not hiring myself on that shit. Nope.
No. No, but like this movie works for me. Well, yeah, because of James Woods, but also everybody is just so damn serious. Like this movie is ridiculous, but everybody's wait, how. It's like everybody's in a different movie. It's great. It's such a beautiful mess to watch.
Yeah, that's why Stallone was like, "We need. I'm gonna put some humor in here." Yeah. I believe there's a vacancy. Like he does shit. He does the craziest fucking thing, and then he underplays it so much that it's that it is really funny. But you're like, I don't think this is funny in the way you think it is. Like you just like ruined a bus full of people's day, and it's like then you like walked off like you're the hero. Then you murked three mall security cops or rent a cops in a fucking kitchen.
Yeah.
And the guy that we know was the mob dude, he walks out of the parking lot and he fucking kicks shit out of that guy. So I'm like, okay, he's just a violent guy. He just draws a line at kids. Like that's the thing. I'm like, what is he doing? Right? So he's back doing this. He's not doing the job, but he is doing the job.
Yeah.
It's like what has he been doing? We don't know. He's got this crazy warehouse apartment that he's got rigged to explode. It's got pressure sensors everywhere to detect intruders. It's insane. Like, what is this guy's life? I don't understand anything about him.
No.
he's supposed to be a weirdo. Like, there's a part two where he's got, where right at the end, where you realize, oh, he really was like kind of being spooky, but Stallone kind of edited around that. But you see that he's got all the newspaper clippings and stuff of Sharon Stone's life. And so that should have been something that we focused a little bit on. Like, what? The fuck is that? And he just kind of goes, oh, being sentimental, hooray. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck was that?
I'll see that again.
I mean, being a stalker like, creep? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, is there a room where he's got, like, a little shrine to her, and he's, like, cut out pictures of himself and put them together kissing? Like what is he up to? Like, I want to know what his character is. It's fucking weird. Is he cutting out the eyes of anybody around her? How weird is this go? I need to know. Like whatever spice was in this movie, I think Stallone, if he was in the editing room, he was taking it out, and I hate that.
Yeah, he does feel like a diva in this one, so that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, this is during prime diva Stallone. You know, I guess it was like that. He had a big flop, and then he came back with Cliffhanger and Demolition Man, and then there was this. And there's Judge Dredd, where he didn't want to wear the helmet because he wanted the audience to see his face, all that shit.
And then Daylight.
Daylight, I think, was a big flop. And then he had to come back with Copland, I think, to show that he could still act. He had to, like, pull himself back up, basically. And it was tough. This is, like, the beginning of the rough part of Stallone's career. You know, all that. He just did a ton of bad stuff and then finally came back with Rocky Balboa.
Yeah. Managed to turn the beat around. Was the song?
Yeah.
Turn the beat around.
Dude, I cannot tell you how hard I laughed when that song played. I was like, that's the fucking song you're gonna end with. Okay.
It made no sense.
It was so bizarre.
Yeah, like on the bus, the goons are like listening to like some like pop song. They're like, yeah, this is great stuff. Yeah. And it's like some like teen pop stuff. And then Stallone comes and kills them all. But music choices are kind of questionable at times.
The music supervisor for this movie is Emilio Estefan Jr. So I'm wondering, is he just like Gloria Estefan's brother or something? Like, yeah, I'll throw a couple of dollars your way. I'll put your song over the end credits. Sure.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, he has been married to Gloria Estefan since September 2nd, 1978. Yeah, that explains it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stallone movie coming out. I'm going to put one of your songs in there, honey.
Yeah. It'll be great.
It's going to be a huge hit.
It'll blow up.
It'll blow up. Yeah, it was definitely a bomb. Yeah, I really did not understand the characters. I understood every character except Stallone.
Yeah.
Like, they all made sense. Sorry. But yeah. It's like, what is he doing? It's so weird. Mm-hmm. He should have been just a, like, they really should have leaned into that Le Samurai, just weirdo-ness of him.
Mm-hmm.
The road's not traveled, I guess.
Yeah. Then this movie wouldn't have been such a great mess.
Yeah, it's true. It's such a strange one. And it really, to me, this one really kind of marks that point where Stallone just kind of goes off this weird deep edge. And and he really does not handle it for a long time. Like, when did Rocky come out? That was like, yeah, it's like 12 years from this. I guess I have a soft spot for Judge Dredd, and I like Assassins quite a bit, but I don't know. This is such a strange misstep for Stallone. And it is very weird when you watch it. If you watch this and Assassins within a short period of time, you're like, he's the same fucking guy. And the movies are very similar.
They even got the same cat.
Yeah. But now let's just watch a movie with James Woods and Antonio Banderas.
Yeah.
It's just like Stallone will just be this boring star that the worlds gravitate towards, the more interesting characters, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought it was.
But yeah, what is?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
What is their world gonna be when they leave? The end of this movie, like, they have nothing except that we helped kill these mob guys together. I guess.
All you need is love. That's the message of the film.
All you need is Sharon Stone.
Yeah.
Can they really exist without James Woods, though? Either of them?
No.
That's what the movie should have been. Should have been this, like, weird love triangle.
Ooh.
Although Stallone, I guess, still wouldn't be able to do that. I don't know. But yeah, come see James Woods be fucking awesome and save a weird Death Wish 5 ripoff.
Come see the most baffling fucking movie you've ever seen. It's so weird. It's such a mess. And it's all the better for it.
Yes.
It's not good. I'm not going to say it's good, but I enjoyed it a lot.
It's a little overlong at times, but I mean, overall, I had a good time, so I can't complain. I mean, it's a strange movie.
How long was this?
It's like, isn't it like almost 2 hours? Like 10 minutes shy of that?
No, it's like 105 minutes.
110. So I thought it maybe ran a little too long, but the silliness sustained it. I love Rod Steiger playing a Cuban, so I'll give it a thumbs up.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to have to say yes. Like, you know what's weird is when I think I saw this and Casino and Speed and Blown Away, all these movies around the same time. I think they all came out around the same time. And so it was like, is everything just fucking bombs now?
and Live Wire with Pierce Brosnan?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just like, I remember all these movies were out and it was like, everything's a bomb.
Including this film.
Yeah, including this film. But yeah, that's why they should have played that one scene for laughs, because it's fucking hilarious. Like, a teacup becomes a bomb. You're like, are you being fucking serious, movie?
Just the idea of controlled explosions, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, we build a bomb into a teacup, but only the person who picks up the cup dies, not the person standing next to them. Fuck off.
Well, he can control his explosions, remember?
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't doing Tai Chi, he was doing Tantra. Now I get it.
Yeah. The tantric bombing. Yeah. This bomb's going to last for hours.
But his name is Quick. Got it. Yeah.
I don't know why. Why is it? Why is he called that? I don't know.
I don't even think, because like the credits say, suggested by the specialist books by John Shirley or something. And I don't think the character in the books is called Ray Quick. They made it up for the movie.
No.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I'm just looking, and this movie did rather well at the box office.
Oh.
It wasn't a Rambo size hit, but apparently people liked it, and this version of Turn the Beat Around got to number one on the dance club's song charts.
All right.
So enjoy. We're in the wrong, fellas. Turns out people liked it and they loved that song. They're like, oh, great A song. This is the best song. The reason to watch the movie.
Yeah.
But you know what? That said, me, I'm going to tell everyone to watch this. And I often do. I often do recommend it because it's fucking strange as hell. If Stallone's not going to be weird, it's just going to make the movie weirder. Fine. yeah, definitely recommend this one. And it sounds like you guys do too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But like I said, I'm not going to say it's good.
No.
Of course it's good.
Well, good is one thing. Don't let perfect be the enemy of good.
No.
What would you change? How would this be better? No.
No, it has to be worse.
I would love to re-edit this movie. I would put goofy music in that one scene where the guy's dodging the bomb attacks. And then I would completely change the beginning. I would open it with Stallone finding that cat. Ooh. And then you'd slowly find out what's going on. It's like, oh, okay. And then James Woods would just like pop up in the movie. And when he's on the phone with him, he's having flashbacks to what happened. And that's the most of that intro you would ever see. I'd make the movie about 20 minutes shorter, I think, and reorganize everything.
Yeah, that could work.
Unfortunately, I don't have the footage that I believe exists, even though I have no evidence of this. This is what I feel like when I was watching it. I believe that James Woods ultimately kills off the patriarch of the mob family, Rod Steiger, and I think that you're right, he probably was going to take over, but I don't know that. I just assume that there's probably scenes of his scheming somewhere. Probably in that scene where he's talking to Sharon Stone and admits his plan. It's probably all part of it.
Well, he's definitely planning to have Eric Roberts killed. So.
Yes, because you can tell they fucking hate each other anyways.
Yeah.
So, like, that was going to come to a head at some point, whether or not Stallone killed him. Or even Sharon Stone. I think he would have done the deed himself.
Yeah.
He would have put it in Rod Steiger's cane. You give him a kiss on your cheek, and his cheek's a bomb.
Oh, yes.
All right. But, yeah, that's about it for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
All right. Come watch The Specialist. And when you're done being frustrated at how weird the movie is, come on over to alloutofbubblegum.com. Come join our Discord or donate to our Patreon.
Yes, and we will be back next week.
Indeed.
In the meantime,
see you then.
All right, bye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Have you decided to take the job?
I saw your ad today. I know it's late.
It's never too late. After all, you're about to give me a new life.
Really will.
When you kill those three bastards.
I'm flattered. Look, you better get somebody else.
I like your voice.
Yeah, but you don't need an explosive contractor for a job like this.
Yes, I do.
Kaboom?
Yes, Rico. Kaboom.
Away. Blow this guy away.
Whatever.